following message is from New Life Gillette series, Phone Zombies. This week, Pastor Mike presents part one of this series.
Good morning. That's good stuff so far, huh?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a lot of fun.
Hey, we're starting a new series today. I'm really excited about it. But I'm also a little apprehensive about it just because of the nature of this type of series. I was at Men's Warehouse the other day. I hadn't bought a suit for a long time. And I every once in a while I'll do a wedding or funeral. Paul does most of them, but every once in a while I'll do one of them. And I thought, okay, I probably need a new suit. The bell bottoms aren't working anymore. So I'm trying on some suits at Men's Warehouse. And the guy that's like helping me get dressed, I don't know why we need that, but some guy is helping me get dressed at Men's Warehouse. I'm like, it feels like they're like falling down. Like, why do the pants feel like they're falling down? He's like, you don't have a pants issue. You got a small butt issue. So I became freshly insecure about something that I had never known I needed to be insecure about before. So we're starting a series that we're talking a little bit about some behavior change. And as I was growing up, the one thing I hated most about church is I felt like every time I show up, you're just ragging on me about something else that I'm doing that I need to change about my life. And I'm tired of going to church. I already know I'm screwed up. I already know I'm doing all these things bad. Why do you keep giving me a list of things that I need to fix about myself? And so I'm hoping that, yes, this series is going to talk about some behavior changes that may be necessary for some of us. But at the same time, I hope that the tone of it for you is not a request from you, but a gift to you, that this will make your life better and will make you better at life. So let's do a quick run through. The series is called Phone Zombies, and it's going to look a little bit like this. In week one, we're going to talk about replacing the scroll, the mindless scrolling, with scripture. Week two, we're going to talk about replacing notifications, the annoying red dots, with prayer. We're going to replace comparison with friendship, distractions with the table, isolation with accountability, anger with gentleness. Anybody seen any anger on social media lately? Yep. Consumerism with generosity, and hurry with Sabbath. And this series is going to kind of allow us to replace a habit that may not be a healthy habit, maybe a life-taking habit, with a life-giving habit. It's a one-for-one type of thing. And so in each of these, you can look down the list and decide which ones you're good at and show up to just those. Or you can take an honest, transparent, honest look at your life and decide, you know what, maybe some of these are some changes I need to make. I'm going to show up and invest in this series. Because in the Christian world, when we talk about adopting good habits, we use a little bit more spiritual language than that. Good habits, we usually call them spiritual disciplines. John Wesley, who our church is founded after, he called them methods, hence the reason the Methodist Church. These are methods that we adopt in our life to help us become more and more of who God created us to be, to help us to become more like Christ. And so we're going to talk about some of these spiritual disciplines that we should adopt. Now, when you hear people talk about spiritual disciplines, you probably hear that phrase interchangeably with this phrase, spiritual formation. And spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines are used pretty interchangeably, but they're actually very different things. Spiritual formation is not something that we have to work for. It's not habits that we have to adopt. Spiritual formation happens to all of us, whether we know it or not. Spiritual formation is just a natural effect of life. Our spiritual formation begins long before we start adopting habits. It begins when God creates us. We are being formed spiritually. When you are picked last at recess, you are being formed spiritually. When you ask a girl on a date and she says no, you were being formed spiritually. When your dad yells at you, when you see a girl on Instagram who's better looking than you think, when you got married, when you had kids, those things all formed you spiritually. So you don't have to work for that. That happens one way or the other. Our goal is now to take control, or more specifically, to give God control of our spiritual discipline. So there's good things that happen in our spiritual formation. There's bad things. There's good things like I decided I'm going to start reading my Bible, or I'm going to pray, or I'm going to go to church. There's also bad things like I'm going to start rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers or whatever else caused you to be such a sinner. There's good and bad things that apply to our spiritual formation. The point of this series is to give God control of our spiritual formation. That's what we call the spiritual disciplines. Because when Adam sinned in the garden in the very beginning, he gave Satan control of his spiritual formation. Or at least he allowed Satan to influence his spiritual formation. And all throughout history, that curse has been handed down generation after generation and has eventually been passed down to us. Now, it is time to take control from the Satan and say, no longer will I be formed by you. I will give that to God. I will allow him to be the one to form me. And so this series is not something we want from you. This series is an invitation. It's an invitation for you to seek God, to become who you were created to be, and it is an invitation to God to come in and change us, make us, remake us, give us new life. If you had a bad spiritual formation, or if you had a good spiritual formation, you need this. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to take an honest look at our lives and make some changes, because we believe that Jesus makes our lives better, and he makes us better at life if we let him. At some point, we can say, you know what, God, I know you gave me all these good instructions, and I know you gave me a calling, but I got my own way. Sorry. So, Christians, let's let him. And not so that we can be good people, not so that we can earn favor with God, not so that we can get him to love us more or to bless us more or to give us more stuff. This is a gift to us. This is a blessing for us, not a request from us. Spiritual growth is a gift. And it's kind of like the stock market. I don't know if you've ever invested in the stock market. Joe Singel was talking about it a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how the goal of stocks is that you can kind of put it there and leave it there. That's his advice that he would give us. What does that imply? It implies that when you invest your money in the stock market, you're not doing the one growing the money, right? You're investing in a company and somebody else is working really hard to try to grow their company so that your money grows, that your money increases. It's not you that does it, it's somebody else. You're just making the investment so that the growth can happen. This is the spiritual disciplines. We invest, we give control to God, we surrender to God, and then he takes what we've invested, what we've given, and he grows us. He matures us. He makes us into who we were created to be. It's not by our effort. It's not by our hard work. It is him that does the maturing. It is him that does the sanctifying and the growth. God loves us unconditionally. Bad habits won't make him love us more, and good habits won't make him love us more. I said it backwards. Less, and good habits won't make him love us more. God gives us spiritual disciplines to make our lives better and make us better at life. That's a long one to say. Listen, often in spiritual discipline series, what happens is we are tempted to think that we now have to earn something. That either we have to earn our salvation or we have to work hard enough to keep our salvation. We have to be good enough to earn God's love. We have to be good enough to earn God's favor. And the warning that I give in this first, and I'm going to give it all throughout this, I'll probably read this again, is that you can do nothing to earn God's love and you can do nothing to keep God's love. That's not the point of this. Because God loves us unconditionally. I'm going to read that again. Bad habits won't make him love us less. And good habits won't make him love us more. God gives us spiritual disciplines to make our lives better and make us better at life. Okay, the series is called Phone Zombies because our world is rapidly realizing that there are some very bad habits that come along with the adoption of these supercomputers that we've all put into our pockets. Does anybody here have a phone? Anybody have a cell phone? Yes, we all have a cell phone. We all have a supercomputer in our pocket. Even if you got the cheapest one now, it's crazy what we've decided to put into our pockets. and with very little consideration to how it's affecting us. How are these things affecting us in our lives day to day? When you adopt a new tool into your life, you should probably decide, okay, how should I use this and how should I not use this? So we've got a lot of long conversation about this. Honestly, I'm supposed to do this series in January, but I felt like I needed more research and look more into this. So we moved Daniel to January, and now we're doing, in February, we're going to go through this series because we felt like it deserved our time. So watch this.
So I'm here with Grant Austin. Grant runs the social media here at the church and has done a lot of reading about the positives, negatives of social media and how they're influencing our society. Sarah is a youth pastor here, and Sarah has dealt a lot with teens and the impact that smartphone use and technology use is having on the younger generations. And so we've been having a lot of conversations lately about, well, we're all raising young kids. And saying, hey, what do we want for our kids? What boundaries do we want to set up? And how do we want to train them and teach them? And so we were having so many of these good conversations. I felt like it would be great to just bring everybody in on the conversation and have them so that we can all have it together. Nobody is a total expert on it. It's a new enough reality that people are still learning and growing, and we're just in the process of learning. And so we wanted to bring you in on the learning process. So let's just start generally. Smartphones. They've been around for 15 years. Would we say that smartphones are a net positive or a net negative? There's some pluses and minuses, there's good and bad. What would we say about generally?
There is definitely positive with it. Our connectivity with people has never been greater. I mean, you can get on Facebook or Instagram and see classmates that you haven't seen for many, many years, or a relative or something like that. The connectivity is real. And I think it is useful.
Learning other cultures, meeting people around the world that you would have never been able to meet.
Yeah.
I think the net, maybe negative, is just the mental, emotional toll that our cell phones or smart technology can have on anybody, any age. I think it's not just Generation Z or the generation even before them. It's even generations like our grandparents, our parents, us millennials, yeah. So are seeing effects of it. And so
and the negative effects are pretty glaring, so let's talk about a few of those. One of them would be just a communication breakdown, people's inability to communicate. We talk a lot about empathy.
Yeah,
right.
It's huge.
And about how if I'm communicating to you face to face, there's an empathy that happens. Mm-hmm. I say something negative, I see the look on your face, I recognize, oh, that was bad,
yep.
Pull back. Whereas when you're communicating online, there's less of a filter, there's less of that empathy, that connection. And so the reality is it takes practice to learn how to communicate with people.
Right.
And social media, online talk does not provide that practice.
No. I think it's really, and also the opposite side of seeing positive reactions of people, that's all that can build you up also.
Yeah, and like even just group conversation, if you watch not only Gen Z but millennials or in up, you see them in a circle talking and some of them are looking at their phones. That conversation never gets deep.
Yeah.
It's just they have a very shallow conversation, because if one person's looking at their phone, they'll look back up and want to be caught up on what the conversation is. And so it's way easier to catch up someone on a shallow conversation than a soul deep, deep conversation. So.
You were talking yesterday about somebody who at one point was saying they wanted to be a teacher. And then he decided, no, I don't want to be a teacher. I want to be an account. I want to be a
influencer.
Influencer.
Social, yeah. Influence.
As if a teacher is not an influencer.
Right. Right. Yeah. It was this kid had a dream of becoming a teacher, and then got a smartphone, got YouTube, got social media, started watching all these YouTube videos, and then decided I can do that.
Yeah.
Made a video, got like 5,000 views, and then decided being a teacher is out because I'm an influencer already. Mm-hmm. And if I get enough subscribers, then I'm gonna influence people. Well, parents weren't very happy about that. They're like, you know, I mean, so teens are choosing a career path of being an online influencer rather than
a real influencer.
Influencers. Yeah. And, so,
and there's nothing wrong with having a popular YouTube channel.
All right.
But it's not going to, number one, be your primary source of income throughout your life.
Yeah.
But also the amount of influence that you can have on somebody over a screen is just so much less than the amount of influence you can have interpersonally.
Yeah, I mean, with how the algorithms are built, when you like something, if you spend more time looking at a video or a post, it knows you're pausing on that. And so it'll say, okay, that person likes that kind of content. So it's going to find more influencers and fill your feed with those influencers. So you're only seeing one side, and those influencers are only telling you things that you want to hear.
Yeah.
You're not hearing other sides. You're not being able to craft your own beliefs.
You're in an agreement loop where you're just hearing things you agree with. Everybody's tickling your ears the right way.
Yep.
And you feel like, okay, you feel like you're being influenced. No, there's no influence happening.
Yeah. And really, you're going to have more influence in your life with face-to-face conversations.
Right.
With you, with your family, with friends. That is where influence happens.
Yeah.
With that conversation, I just want to bring up, I was talking to some teens a couple days ago, and with the agreement loop, it seems as though the younger generation are getting more and more, what do you call it? They just have a wall up. So as soon as you disagree with me, we are enemies.
Yep.
And so
easily offended.
Very easily offended. And it's hard to keep a relationship that way. Yeah. So, I mean,
And I think this explains why these studies have come out saying all these Silicon Valley executives have decided to put their kids in tech-free schools because whereas they want us to buy their tech and they want us to be influenced by their tech, they're saying, but for my kids, this isn't healthy. This isn't okay. Because they're a little bit ahead of us in terms of this. And they're realizing this is just not a net positive. We're taking away the tech.
Phones aren't evil.
No, yeah.
Technology is not evil. I believe God has created it for us Christians to use it as a positive tool. We just have to become wise on how we use it. And so just having this conversation, starting this conversation, I think is huge. Yeah. And so,
what about self-image? We hear a lot about how social media and different media sources are causing a negative self-image for people, causing insecurity. And I can kind of see an argument on both sides for, well, maybe that's because we're too self-focused, or maybe it's because I'm looking at things. We'll talk more about this in a future video, but just a rise in anxiety, a rise in depression caused by this negative self-image that people have of themselves.
And some people might argue like it's good. It can cause competition maybe. And you're like, hey, my life, I need to maybe drive harder to do things better because this person's life is put together on social media. But I think the negative outweighs the positive in this, and especially amongst the younger generation of just not feeling good enough and not feeling like God created them for a purpose or anyway. So I would think the negative definitely outweighs the positive. You could possibly pull some positive out of that comparison, but usually we hear it, comparison is the thief of joy. Yeah. And so.
Yeah, I mean, there's positives to comparison, but I think comparison often, it's kind of, it gives you that grass is greener. Like if my relationship looked like their relationship on social media, I would be happy. Or if that person, if I could marry that person, then I will be happy. And you're just looking for that perfect person that doesn't exist. And in reality, if that perfect person was available, they wouldn't want to marry you because you're not perfect.
Yeah, like, right.
There's just no such thing as a perfect person. And I think Instagram and Facebook and all those posts of you and you're doing filters and you're showing your highlights is just a misconception.
You're comparing the worst of my world to the best of your world.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to win that comparison game.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to do a lot of videos, a lot of those discussions through this series. And we're going to start focusing in on some different weaknesses and some different areas of this conversation. And so keep tuning in for those. My fear is that a lot of you will hear us saying, phones are terrible, don't give your kids a phone ever, that type of stuff. That's not really what we're saying. We're not saying that that we have to just totally cut off. Some technology is good, some is bad. My parents have a robot that vacuums their house for them. That's pretty fun and pretty good. So we're okay with some technology and we'll live with that world. But at some point, we need to say, where are some boundaries? When I buy my first gun, I don't just start using it, right? I take a class, or I set up some boundaries. I lock it away. I say, okay, what is some safe ways to use this? I take a gun safety class. I think this series for many of us is kind of like a phone safety class. That's just saying, okay, what's healthy and what's not. So we're going to get a little bit more specific now. There's one way that we use phones today, and most of us do it. I'm guilty of this, and that is the scroll and how it can mindlessly take us to places we don't want to go. And so let's talk a little bit more specifically about that. Watch this.
What do these two things have in common? Well, before I get to that, I should probably explain what this thing is. This is a Skinner box. It's been used in the past by psychologists to study behavior. As you can see, the box features a bar. And when the mouse presses the bar, it sometimes gets food. But other times, nothing happens. Over time, the mouse learns that when it pushes the bar, it might receive food. So it pushes, and pushes, and pushes, until it gets its food. So then what does that have to do with this? We're obviously a lot different from mice, but the principle behind both the bar pushing and the scrolling is the same. The behavior is repeated until some kind of reward is delivered. In this case, the reward is a post that we find to be funny, entertaining, or something we just plain like. We stop scrolling long enough to take it in, and then it's right back to scrolling in search of the next post that scratches that itch. Sound familiar? Social media feeds are infinite by design. You could scroll forever and never run out of posts. This scrolling can sometimes feel automatic or mindless, more a result of conditioning than a constant choice. This leads us to spend more time on social media than we intend to, sometimes more than we want to. And that can cause some issues. Let's say you wake up, get on your phone, and start scrolling. Scroll too long, and you might be late for work. In more extreme cases, it could cause you to neglect other aspects of your life or experience anxiety when you're away from your phone. When you interact with posts on social media, you're providing data to these sites. They then take this data and use it to further personalize your feed, showing content and ads similar to what you've engaged with previously. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. A more personalized feed can introduce you to content you may not have seen otherwise. However, this design reinforces our scrolling behavior and greatly increases the amount of time we spend using social media. And this is more or less their goal. They're simply businesses who want their users to spend more time using their app or website. The good news is, we aren't mice. We may push on that theoretical bar much like they do, but we possess the intelligence that they lack. It's perfectly okay to use social media, but it's also important to be aware of when we're overdoing it. It may not always be easy to break free from the grasp of the infinite scroll, but it starts with awareness.
Is anybody else craving a hot dog? I don't see any in these grocery bags, but that guy liked hot dogs a lot. He used the word mindless to describe the scroll. Mindlessly searching, he says. So now we start asking ourselves the question, okay, we've been talking a lot about cell phones, Mike. When do we talk about the Bible? Well, when I hear the word mindless describing anything about how we are living our lives, a red flag goes up in my mind. Because mindless is absolutely not how Scripture, how Proverbs, how John, how Paul teaches us to live our lives. So let's contrast mindless scrolling to what Scripture says. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. We are not mindless mice. We are sons and daughters of the living God put in this world for a purpose. So we prepare our minds, we take control of our habits, we take control of our lives, and we give ourselves as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. The Apostle Paul says, we take captive every thought. No mindless thoughts. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Honestly, we use these same verses when we talk about getting drunk. We use these same verses when we talk about getting high. They are distractions. The point of them is to help us to avoid reality, to escape this world, to escape pain, when God has called us repeatedly not to escape the world, but to influence the world, but to change the world, to impact the world, to attack reality, not to escape it. God told Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so multiple times a day, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed. Anybody want to succeed? Joe Sengel says, succeed in all you do. Now we see the contrast here, right? You got the mindless cell phone scrolling or mindless anything that we do, the escapism, and then you've got meditation on scripture. They are polar opposites. One is mindful focus, one is mindless escape. I could share dozens of verses all throughout scripture about how important it is to be mindful and to meditate on God's word. I don't have time for that, so I'm going to share one more. This one's huge. Psalm says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with the sinners or join in with social media. I mean, with mockers. This to me seems like a description of a lot of what I've seen in social media scrolling recently. And if King David wrote that verse today, I think that he could have pretty much just said, oh, the joys of those who ignore the mindless social media bickering, the mindless social media comparison game. Oh, the joys who get away from it. But they delight, so get away from that. What do? They delight in the law of the Lord. He's talking specifically about scripture. The law is the written law. He's referring to the scripture that they have. Meditating on it day and night. So the opposite of joining in with the mocking and with the mindless scrolling is meditating on scripture. And he says, not just every once in a while. He says day and night, multiple times a day. He specifically says that we should do it multiple times a day, day and night. So what happens? What's the result if we do this? He says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Anybody want this picture? Anybody want this description of their lives? He says, if you do, then set up the habit of meditation on scripture multiple times a day. Why? Because Jesus makes our life better, and he makes us better at life. Whenever I need to say something important to one of my kids, I pull him aside and I say, son, look at me. I need your eyes. I need your attention on me right now. Because what happens? He's distracted. He wants to do his own thing, the video game or the toy or whatever it is. He's off in his own world. If it's important, son, look at me. If he wants to run out in the street, I know that's not healthy. I know that's not a good thing to do. Son, look at me. Don't go in the street. If he wants to, usually when we remove eye contact, it's usually because we're either trying to hide something, or maybe I don't want to get caught, or maybe I don't want him to see. I'm trying to, let's remove focus, remove relationship in this moment so that I can do what I want. And I think in many of our lives right now, God is saying, son, look at me. I need your focus. I need your attention. You're distracted by all this other stuff that is just causing pain. How's it working for you? It's not working for you. Son, look at me. So what has your focus? Like practically, day in, day out. Day and night, what has your focus? So I've got a really practical invitation for you. Just one way you can do this. We have a Bible reading group here at the church that each month I send out an email and you get a list of the Bible reading plans we're doing on the YouVersion Bible app. They're really short, like really short readings that we do together each morning. You can join the plans you want to, don't join the plans you don't want to. We're going to put a QR code up here on the screen, actually. If you know how to use these, I'm going to ask you to use those sinful devices. Just kidding. So you can pull out your phone, you pull up the camera app, and you point it at this. You may have to zoom in depending if you have a good phone or not, iPhone or not. And you can zoom in on this, and it will take you to a link. You click on that link, you can fill out the form, and you can join our Bible reading group. I'll send you an email each month. You can join the plans that you want to. There'll be a list of what plan we're reading, what day, and you can follow with us. A lot of people joined this Bible reading group this morning, and I hope that you will consider it too. And I realize, I read something the other day that said 20% of people, only 20% of people in America read on a regular basis. So I realize there's a lot of people in here who are not reading on a regular basis. And my goal today is not to make you a reader. If you don't like reading, I'm not trying to convince you to read on a regular basis. The cool thing is that the YouVersion Bible app has something that I use all the time, and it reads to you. You wake up in the morning and just say, this is my passage for today, play button. I can sit here. I can meditate by listening. In fact, the Bible often tells us, scripture often tells us that we learn through hearing the words of God. So listen to it if you don't want to read. But whatever way it is, meditate on what, maybe it, for you it's not reading much, it's memorizing. Maybe you only got to read every once in a while and memorize it so that you can meditate on it that way. But what does it look like for you to just remove a little bit of the scrolling habit and replacing it a little bit with the meditation on scripture habit? Because God right now is standing here yelling, look at me. I need your attention. I don't want you running out in the road. You're going to get hit. I got a better way for you. Let him make your life better and let him make you better at life. God, I thank you for giving us a better way, for writing these words thousands of years ago before phones were ever even considered by us, yet they're still applicable today. God, I pray that we will set our minds on you, not on things of this world, but on things above. Help us to become who you created us to be. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.